ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to another edition of the Sunday Breakdown. Now, where is Hong Kong food?
Dude, he had to go pee.
Just let him out to pee?
Now we break it down, tonight you're not gonna shut it down. Hear your voice from amongst the crowd, Sunday Breakdown, scream aloud. Boom! Now we break it down, tonight you're not gonna shut it down. Hear your voice from amongst the crowd, Sunday Breakdown, scream aloud.
Listen up, because I got the mic. Can't move room because the space is tight. Cook and red, don't humming, better get it right. Mic is fucking scrolling, Superman's kryptonite. Turn it all on as you break it down. Giving you the blues on all around. Put the pounds in, top it to the breaking ground. Championship fight, flying around. This is gonna be the craziest past round. Look at all this controversy I found. Take your ideas, turn them upside down.
Hong Kong Fu with the bastard hound?
I don't believe the man, that's your craze. Jeff and Rob, let him out to play. Wandered in the traffic for a ninja display. Then there's no more Hong Kong Fu today. Don't you cry, guys, it's okay. Show was dead long ago anyway. Now the form is yours. Take it away, call these cats out in MMA. Make it loud, make it live. Spirit of the Hong Kong football survives. No longer does it listen to the surprise. Take the internet, bring it back alive, come on.
Boom. Now we break it down, tonight we're gonna shut it down. Hear your voice from amongst the crowd. Sunday Breakdown, scream aloud.
Alright, Sunday Night Breakdown. Here it is, on a Sunday, at night. How you doing, Rob?
Doing pretty good, man. What's going on up in Washington tonight?
Just a nice day. It's like 70 degrees today. Like a little flashback of summer, I think, just a tease.
Did you get to get out and enjoy it, or did you spend the day slaving away?
I just slaved away, pretty much, yeah.
Since you went out and played last night, how was the birthday party?
There was no birthday party.
Well, I mean, you went to the fight, so you can kind of like think of that as a party. You know, maybe the right guys win for you that you wanted.
You know, I don't have much preference, but yeah, I think it was a good night overall. Everybody did pretty good. The people that we sponsor all did well, and well, except for the ones that were fighting each other. One of them had to not do well, but it was a good night of fights. They did a good job. It was a good card. There was no mismatches really. It was a good card, and it went fairly quick too. So. Got to see some new faces, and that was cool. Some new threatening faces with, well, Corey DeVella showing up and getting on the scene. He's going to make a serious impact for the probably short time that he's local.
I'm going to hold off my judgment on what I think about Corey until he fights a 185er.
Yeah, well, he fought a lot of them before. But, yeah, I understand that.
And I don't even think Byron made it to 180 for the weigh-ins. I think if I remember right, it was like 179.6.
Yeah, 179 something. So, yeah, I mean, and Corey lost 22 pounds or something. So, the day of, so he's going through a big cut. He was definitely a lot bigger, but he pretty much did whatever he wanted with him. He put him where he wanted and just. Well, I don't know if you saw any video of it, but he definitely handled him. And I know him from the past. I think he's going to give a lot of trouble to any 85er in this area, any of them, because he's really talented. But, you know, we'll see. 3 years off. Who knows? But I was pretty impressed last night. We've seen Byron in there against true 85ers before, and he looked a heck of a lot better than he did last night. Last night he couldn't do anything. I think he might have hit him one time.
No. Yeah, I'd like to see Byron get some fights at 170.
He's got to pick a class. He's got to camp this in between classes. You can't keep getting. You're not going to get catchweight fights as a pro all the time. You need to pick a class and get there. If you're 70, you're 70. If you're 85, you're 85. If you're 85, weigh 95. If you're 70, weigh 80. Don't weigh 70. Or weigh 79 and do 85. That's just giving up a lot. Any of these guys in this area, you know how they are. They pack some weight on. They all cut hard to 85. And that's probably why there's no 205 class pretty much, because they all go to 85. So some lose a lot.
Isn't that the freaking truth, dude?
Yeah. Can you name 5 205ers? Even 3 of them?
Pros?
Yeah. In the Northwest?
I could name more 205 amateurs, I think, than I could pros.
But still not many of those. Not compared to the other classes. It's a really small class.
Brandon Pitts.
Yep, there's one. That
I mean, where does Bill Widler fall? You know, like he fights
he's
between 205 and heavyweight, but I think he fights more than 205.
Yeah, when he's fighting that 225 pounds, 230 pounds, he shouldn't be. You know, that's just too small. You're giving up 30, 40 pounds to your opponent. It's not good. It's a big advantage as a pro.
Oh, yeah.
As an amateur, you could get away with that, not as a pro. So, but it was good fights. Amy Cadwell won again. She's now 2-0 as a pro. Wins over Cheryl Chan and Hadley Griffith.
How was that fight?
It was good, really. It was kind of... It was not super exciting because it didn't look like anybody was going to hurt anybody. You know, no one has got the knockout power there to knock the other one out. But Hadley did knock her down. She did hit her and knock her on her butt, a straight, you know, knockdown. And so Amy won the first round. Hadley clearly won the second round. And then Amy came back in the third round and got the same position that she had in the first and just kind of worked on the ground and ended up getting her back and choking her. But it was a good fight, a lot of excitement, you know. It was a big crowd. There was a lot of people there, a lot of people. I don't know if it was sold out. If it wasn't, it was real close to it because it seemed like there was like 500 Rob Can fans there, you know.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that guy.
Insanity.
I wonder if they moved him closer to the end of the car because of how many people he had there.
Yes, absolutely. That's why he was supposed to be the first fight. And then.
Yeah.
Somebody pointed out to him, hello, 210 fucking tickets sold. You think first fight, really? And so they looked at it and said, no, sixth fight. So, yeah, he was way down the card where he belonged. The fight, it fit there. They were both good. It didn't look like a big drop-off in talent. And they fought hard, and, you know, Rob got cut and bled and just kind of whooped the guy's ass. So it was a good fight. Tyson Cunningham from Combat Sports and Fitness had his pro debut and looked like just a monster. That guy hits so hard. He's one of those guys that when he hits the other guy, you feel like the concussion in the crowd. You could feel the punch. He knocked the guy out from inside his guard. He was in his guard and just threw these big swinging hammer hooks and just, good night, just laid him out. And he was out for probably 3 or 4 minutes. Really out. So he's going to be making his mark, that's for sure. The 170, he's a huge 170. Like, it's kind of like his teammate Ian Williams, the Mule, really big 170. So for him to make some stuff happen, for sure. And then at the end of the develop fight, they Brian Hallquist brought, went into the cage with him with a little contract in his hand and called Brett Knopp in and said, you know, all right, Corey, you said you wanted to come here and fight, and then when the fight was over, you had something you wanted to say, and he just said, give him the mic, and he said, yeah, I'd like to take your title away from you. And we said, we fight for it. And so, obviously, they agreed on the spot to fight for it with some little drama, little not letting him know, you know, this is my house. No one comes into my house and beats my ass. This is where I beat everybody's ass, so I'll be happy to beat your ass, too, something to that effect. So, pretty cool. Yeah, they got fired up. And after that, Corey DeVellis just looked, he's smiling the whole time. He just looked at him and they handed him back to Mike and he said, I'm pretty sure that after we fight, you won't have so much to say. And that was it. He just left it at that. It was pretty cool. It's going to be a good
Man.
Fight. I won't
some
be missing that one.
Shit talking in the cage sport caves, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool.
So, is he going to be healthy enough to fight on the December 7th card?
Yeah. Who? They said December 7th. They said the next. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with him.
Oh. Maybe sore hands.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, sore hands for sure. But he was he was dominant, very dominant. And you know, it's not his fault for sure for getting that opponent. That opponent was begging for fights. They would fight anybody. You know, this camp was just adamant about this is the hottest thing. He's ready. Just bring him, you know, test him. So they tested him.
Like, he always takes these tests in, like, these weird spots, man. Like, I think he could be pretty successful if he would fight at 170. I mean, Jesus,
yeah.
Dude, he can't be sitting there and be a 170 and fight Jared Torgerson, who sometimes cuts to 185 from like 240. Just went five rounds with Trevor Prangley at 205. And then Corey Devila, and then fight Corey Devila, who has, you know, he may not have beat these guys at Strikeforce, but he's fought at Strikeforce like two or three fucking times. I understand you want to test yourself and you're scrounging for a fight, but, dude, sometimes you just got to be willing to say no.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. That's a real tough fight. But yeah. I heard that Trevor, if that was somewhere else, he might not have won that fight. It being the hometown fight, I mean, two judges had it 48-47 and for him, and the other one 49-46. But to go to Trevor Prangley's hometown and have it be that close, Jared must have had a hell of a fight. And I heard that Trevor looked real bad when it was over, and Jared just looked like the normal ugly he always is. So.
Yeah, I saw the pictures, dude. And if you held me up the pictures of those two guys after the fight and said who won, I would probably tell you Jared Torgerson won the fight.
Looked pretty beat up. I haven't seen pictures of Trevor. I just heard about it. I didn't see him. Pretty bad?
Yeah. Trevor did not look too hot, dude. And from the sounds of it, he was bleeding like a stuck pig.
Wow. Well, he's getting up there in age, and this was bound to happen eventually. Things are going to catch up. But, I mean, he's 43 years old, same age as me, ancient. And so he's just the fact that he's still in there doing it is pretty impressive, still being dominant. I mean, I'm sure I'd do the same thing to Jared Torgerson, but he's my friend. I don't want to embarrass him, so I don't do that. But, you know.
Here, tell me what you think. Look at your message box real quick.
Oh, it's a picture. Let's see. Holy smokes.
And he might look worse if he took his wife out of the picture. She might be making him look a lot cuter than what he actually looks right now.
Probably most days are like that. That's for sure. Wow, he looks rough. Look at that big cut over his eye. That's a huge cut over his right eye.
It looks like his nose is broken.
Wow. That's crazy. All right. You want to talk about it, something while I call our guest?
Well, sure. We'll talk about something. We're going to talk about some Maximum Fighting Championship 38, man. And what a big night that was for the Pacific Northwest and the heavyweight scene from here. As Anthony Hamilton went up and shocked the world when he landed that big head kick there 12 seconds into the second round of the heavyweight championship fight. And turned the lights out on Shmuelina Rama. That really caught me off guard because I kind of thought that would be the round where Shmuelina kind of took over the fight, and Anthony came out and just said, let's just end it right now. And, I mean, hit that big, big head kick and then followed it up with just one hell of a right hand. If there was any question before, there was no question afterward because it was night time for him. Anthony Hamilton has probably already brought the MFC World Championship back to the Seattle area, unless he's down in New Mexico, but one of the two, you know. But, you know, it says a lot for the heavyweight scene around here. Yeah, Sam Alvey and Jason South go at it for the middleweight championship. Sam Alvey won a gritty decision. Big shout-out to Jason South, though. I mean, he fought with a fractured orbital, broken nose, some pretty good cutting, and I can't remember what the other thing was. Another good little injury that, you know, you can get sometimes when you're in the middle of the cage throwing it down. But congratulations to Sam Alvey. And then, of course, a guy that, you know, we talk to quite frequently, Anthony Berchek, went up and won the inaugural Bantamweight title at MFC by a second-round rear naked choke over Tito Jones. It was so funny hearing, I think it was Moro the other night, saying during the broadcast, Tito Ortiz, and then he'd catch himself and say Tito Jones. But that was a really good fight while it lasted. Anthony was able to get the takedown in the second round and then really just control him with some really, really strong top control, soften him up, and then sank in the rear naked choke and called it a day. There was really no questioning what happened once he had him on the ground in that second round. But Tito was definitely able to defend the takedown as well early in the fight, And but as the second round began, you could really tell that was where the gas tank situation was a little one-sided towards Berchek. But that was an excellent card from Friday night.
All right. We got a guest. We got the badass, the recipe to beat Ronda Rousey, in my opinion. You know who we got. There's only one, Alexis Davis. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Phenomenal. I'm much better now that you're here and I'm not just talking to Jeff.
Yeah, me too.
Well, you know, I'm just hanging out here. Guys, call anytime.
Are you in San Fran or in Canada?
I'm in California right now.
Is that pretty much permanent home base nowadays?
Yeah, it has been for pretty much the last year. I still go home and, you know, see my family a lot. Well, not as much as I would like to, but, you know, it's pretty much California.
So are you training with Leslie Smith up there? Does she train with you, too, sometimes? You're on the same.
Yeah,
you're both Gracie fighters, right?
Yeah. I haven't seen her. She's been off, you know, abroad. She was in Thailand for a while. I haven't seen her for a bit, but... I've trained with her for a couple of fights. She's, you know, one hell of a tough girl, that girl.
Yeah. How do you think she's going to do in her big title fight?
I think she's going to do really well. You know, she's dropping down a weight class, but she, even at 135, you know, she didn't have a lot of problems cutting to 135. Like, I was totally jealous. Like, she'd be, you know, almost being able to eat whatever she wanted and still make weight. So I think she's going to be really strong. You know, it's a really tough fight for her, but she's just one of those, you know, aggressive, dynamic fighters that just kind of go out and leaves it all in the cage.
Reminds me a lot of watching you fight.
Yeah, especially, like, you know, when it comes to, you know, I think back in, like, my Coffin fight, you know, just, you know, balls to the wall.
Which fight is your favorite when you look back, Alexis?
I don't know. I got a lot of, you know, favorites and for different reasons. For me, it has a lot to do probably with my rematch with Shayna, you know, because... You know, that was a tough loss for me, the first one, and just to come back from it. And for me personally, it was kind of seemed like how much, you know, I've grown as a fighter, just being able to almost fight smarter, not so, you know, bullheaded and, like, go crazy and kind of, you know, utilize my strengths and seeing what I have to do to win. It was a big transition, and I think... you know, just since I've moved out to California, like, my fight style has changed quite a bit.
Yeah, that for me is my favorite fight of yours as well. I mean, it was just like it was a war, and you just stayed in there and finally ended up getting the tap. I mean, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, we both were kind of nice and bloody at the end, which usually comes out in a lot of my fights, so... I know a lot of people say, like, my Coffin fight. Everybody loves the Coffin fight. And that was a good fight, too. But, you know, there was a lot of struggles, you know, going on behind the scenes for that fight. So, you know, just, like, the transition, the change, you know, from being, you know, camp. It was a wholly, you know, totally different atmosphere for me and, you know, dealing with different training partners and different styles and, you know, even with my Hitomi fight, it just changed so much.
You fought on big stages. Did you notice any difference when you fought at 161 in comparison to even like Invicta or the Strikeforce cards?
Yeah, you know what? I did. It was way different from, you know, what I'm used to. You know, I've kind of dealt a bit with the promotion, you know, with Zuffa before dealing with Strikeforce. But being on the main card is, you know, it's definitely, you know, it's a lot to deal with. You know, you don't, you know, just sit there and wait to fight. They have you doing interviews and doing videotapes. And, you know, you're busy almost every single day, you know, because they fly you out a little bit earlier. But they keep you so busy and keep you on a nice schedule that, you know, it's a lot different than what I'm used to. You know, a little bit more downtime, but, you know, and just the atmosphere. You know, there's so much energy dealing with crowds like that. And, you know, being it was my, you know, some people, like, I believe Liz, like herself, she said, like, she was, you know, didn't have that, you know, so much adrenaline when she walked out in the cage. I know we've seen a lot with Kat. So she was really emotional when she walked out for her debut. But, you know, I definitely felt that. And, you know, being, I think it's, you know, knock on wood, it's going to be a little bit better for this fight.
Now, this fight is kind of interesting because it's not like you're going into Liz's backyard. But with it being a fight for the troops event and Liz being a veteran, yeah, exactly. Like, that's kind of like how I was thinking about that. I was like, man, it's almost like you are going into hostile territory.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, I feel like I'm almost going to her hometown, you know. She's going to be the hometown favorite.
And then add on to that, you know, you guys are co-main eventing that card. I mean, how did that make you feel in your second UFC appearance?
You know, it makes me feel great because I think we deserve it. You know, we're both very, you know, dynamic fighters. We put on a good fight. We put on a good show. And, you know, I think we're really going to, you know, I always say this, but I can't help it. But, you know, we usually steal the show. And I think dealing with a fighter like Liz, that she's so aggressive, and so am I, that, you know, regardless of where we're fighting, it's going to be a great fight.
Now, the Rosie Sexton fight, like, you dominated the fight, but was there, like, what did you learn from that in the fact that Rosie was, like, able to survive? Like, I mean, did that just show you kind of, like, the maybe even the higher stakes and the farther that these ladies will push it on that stage?
You know what, though? I watch a lot of Rosie's tapes, and... You know, it's not just for the UFC. Like, she is a hard girl to tap, and especially when it comes to choke. So I knew she was going to be hard to tap. And you know what? And since then, you know, it's kind of helped me change up a little bit how I've been training. And, you know, really focus on drilling a lot more. And you know, I didn't push my jiu-jitsu as much as I probably should have for that fight. You know, and it's hard, too, because you want to train everything, and there's never enough time in the world to train, you know, everything that you want to train as much as you want to, but, you know, you have to pick and choose depending on your opponent. And, you know, once again, I'm going to deal with someone like Liz, who's very well-rounded. You know, she's got a good stand-up, she's got a great ground of pound, and she's got, you know, she's got like that jiu-jitsu thing too. She's not, you know, quite easy to tap, but not even to tap, but to get into positions. So I've been trying to, you know, get my time in for positions that I think I'm going to be able to utilize.
Yeah, that's interesting because I think that Liz has pretty good grappling, but I mean, obviously you're carrying around a black belt for a very good reason.
Study your opponent, but for me, I like to try to study my previous fights too, and you know, not just work on, you know, what do I have to do to beat her, but what do I have to do to become a better fighter.
Which fight have you learned the most from when you look back and watch them maybe recently?
You know what? Obviously, you're going to learn a lot from every fight, but, you know, I think I learned a lot from the Sheena fight and definitely a lot from my Kaufman fight. I think that's where, you know, and just the change-up in styles were. And I think it's become easier, you know, with every fight that, I don't know how to explain it. It's almost like your mind sees things a little bit differently the more experience you have, you know, and, you know, there are probably other fighters over there who are more fortunate than I am that, you know, it's almost, you know, come at a bit by a bit, but to be able to see things, you know, a little bit more as you're fighting. Okay, you know, I've studied this. I know, like, if she tweaks her shoulder this way, she's going to do that, you know. She changed her level, okay, she's going to shoot, she's going to grab single leg. And I think it has a lot to do with studying of your opponent, and I think I've been really able to do that even with my last couple fights.
It's kind of like, in a way, like it slows down in there for you a little bit?
Yeah. You know, but then, you know, you always have those fighters, you know, they're studying you just as much, and they're going to, they kind of like the, everybody has that little trick that they're going to throw out just for you. For all I know, you know, Liz is going to come in with, like, a jumping, spinning heel kick or something. You never know. You know, that's the beauty of fighting. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, that is very true. But, I mean, when did you start to notice maybe things were slowing down in the cage for you and you kind of maybe get more comfortable in there? Was it just in these last couple fights or maybe even earlier?
You know what? It kind of... you know, I seen it, like, when I fought Tony Evinger back then, I seen it a bit then, but then as you start to get up higher, you know, with different fighters, and now I'm getting up higher in the rankings, that things change a lot, you know. Sometimes I almost feel like I've had to take a step back before I got to take two steps forward. So, you know, it's becoming more and more clear for the last couple fights, and, you know, hopefully I'll be able to capitalize on that and, you know, obviously make my way to the top.
Now, do you have any kind of, like, meditation techniques or anything like that? Like, where maybe that you maybe use during camp?
You know what? For my last two training camps, I've been trying to do it more. I've been trying to do more yoga because I'm really bad, like, especially if I get so much going on right now, but... to clear my head. And even then, like, I did yoga today, and I was like, ah, man, it's just, you don't even think about it, but it's so hard to just stop thinking and, you know, to stay focused. And, but I've been trying to do a lot more of that, you know, just kind of, you know, put myself, my mind, and my body in just a relaxation state to kind of, you know, clear your mind, you know. And I think that, you know, it kind of sounds a little cheesy, but you're able to almost receive more information, you know, the more you clear your mind. You got to get rid of all that negative stuff and, you know, just that petty little stuff out of your head.
Now, do you do, like, sensory deprivation or anything?
No, not really. You know, I really, you know, I think it's great that, you know, some people are like, you know, who am I thinking of? Why did I lose his... I met him a couple times, too. I was trying to think of that one UFC fighter. I seen him on The Ultimate Fighter. I know. I lost my train of thought, so...
the pee drinker?
But I can't think of his name, but he was really good.
The guy who drinks his own pee?
Oh, no. I would definitely... I don't think I'd turn that route. But, you know what? I tried. And, you know what? It's been harder since I... and change so much with, you know, different training camps and stuff like that, but I think it's really great to kind of, like, I always, you know, I used to try to be better at reading books like The Secret and, you know, The Four Agreements and stuff like that, because I believe there's so much even, you know, mental, you know, that's what it is. Majority of fighting is it's your mental ability, you know. You obviously need the cardio and the strength, but if you can't deal with it, some people see blood and they just can't deal with it. You know, they give up the fight right there. But you have to have that inside of you where you're just going to keep going and, you know, that you're not going to focus on, okay, maybe my boyfriend, you know, I broke up with my boyfriend or, you know, girlfriend or whatever. And, you know, that's going to affect how I fight. This is, you know, this is you and your opponent in the cage, and it's what you have to do to win. You have to, you know, be able to stay focused. You know, and I've seen fighters kind of, like, crash and burn because they've had too much of, I don't know, I guess their social life has kind of, you know, gone to crap. and that's really you see great fighters just kind of, you know, wilt away because of that.
Yeah, sometimes that outside game does definitely affect the inside the cage game more than people understand. But that's also, you know, why you see so many really talented guys never leave, or ladies leave that, like, local scene, because they can't figure out how to compartmentalize those two things and kind of keep them separate.
You know what, I'm from a small town, and I stayed there up until, you know, the last couple of years. And, you know, it was great, but I'm so glad I've grown so much since I've been able to, you know, obviously move on, and I've met so many great people throughout, you know, North America and one day hopefully the world. But just being able to, you know, reach out and different training partners, you're going to learn. You're going to learn from everybody, you know, win or lose. So you have to really be able to have that in your mind that you've got to be able to expand your knowledge, expand the people that you're going to train with. You know, go different places, train with different people. You have to do that. You know, out of one place, you're not going to find, you know, they may be the best wrestler right there, but, you know, they may not be the best, you know, Muay Thai or you know, be the best at jiu-jitsu. You have to be able to get bits and pieces from everybody.
Where is one place, you know, I mean, UFC has cards. There's talks about them going to Russia and Poland, Sweden. Obviously, they go to Brazil frequently. Or Asia, I think they have an Asian card on the horizon again. What's one of those foreign locations that maybe you'd like to go fight that's always been on your bucket list?
Oh, my God. You know, I thought it's funny that you say that, because I talk about this all the time. Like, really, I just want to go anywhere. I want to see the world, you know. What better way, you know, free trip, you know, being paid to do what you love. But I'm like, yeah, I get, like, Ohio and Chicago and, you know, going to Kentucky, which are cool places. But I wanted, like, I'd love to go to, like, England, like you said, like, Sweden and, you know, Australia. Like, how cool would that be? I'm waiting for them, you know, to send me out. It's probably not, you know, as great when they send you out there, because, you know, obviously different time zones and, you know, trying to get your body changed to it. But I would just love to be able to have that experience. You got to do it at least once in your life.
No doubt. I mean, I preach that to a lot of guys that, you know, have opportunities to fight in other parts of the world, but they're just so focused on getting to the UFC that sometimes they pass those opportunities up. And I'm like, why would you pass up the opportunity to get paid to go on a vacation to somewhere where you're never going to get to go again, and you get to do what you love?
Yeah. I know my coach is like, what? They're like, why don't they send you somewhere, like, cool, like Brazil or something like that? He's like, we got to go, you know, this place or that place. Or, I know, I'm waiting for it. And then I have, like, all my training partners or my friends out here. I'm like, why don't they give you a fight in California or, like, Vegas or something like that? Where's closer? But then I have,
like,
you know, obviously. Yeah, we can come. My family, they'd be quite happy if they put me on the Toronto card, because, you know, obviously they're like 2 hours away from Toronto. So, yeah, I can't make everybody happy.
No, but, you know, I mean, you can always definitely let Joe and Dana and those guys know that you have your passport and it's up to date and ready to rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. I was put, like, as soon as I got signed, I'm like, you know what, you guys should really put me on the Brazil card. You know, my fiance, he's just, you know, which was cool. We had the opportunity this year where he's from Rio, so we stayed out in Rio after my last fight for about a month. So I'm like, yeah, you guys should, you know, send me out to Brazil, because he's got family there too.
I bet that was a lot of fun. Did you do a lot of training down there, or was it mainly, you know, just vacation and rest and relaxation?
Yeah, I did a little bit of training, but not too much. It was right after my last fight, and, you know, it was going out, seeing all the family and stuff like that. So it was kind of like a little bit more, I hate to say, downtime and enjoying too much of the food.
How was the food, and what's the one thing you can't wait to go back and eat?
Oh, my God. You know what? First of all, like, their steakhouses, well, like, the red meat is so incredible. It's like, but a lot of their food, like, I find for myself, is, like, almost, like, a little bit saltier, and I had to get used to it a bit. And when we would eat there, we'd eat, like, really late at night, and I wasn't, you know, we'd eat at, like, 10 o'clock at night. Like, this is crazy, but everything's so good, and the fruit there, and then they made, like, fruits I've never even heard of before, never even seen before, and the smoothies, you know, that was just a whole different experience. But one of my favorite things, because I'm a huge peanut butter lover, is the Pasacas, and they're just like, they're like really cheap little candies that you get at the little, like, little stores on the beach. They just, like, taste like peanut butter. I actually had to go out and get my mother-in-law to buy me a whole box to bring them home. I did, I swear. But I haven't been able to eat them because I've been, you know, training, so I had to hide them so I can't see them.
You've got your box of candies in storage right now waiting until the end of November so you can have... Are you going to take some with you to the fight so once it's over you can have a couple?
No, man, I can't do that. It'll be too tempting. I have to get, like, well, yeah, I have to get him to, like, hide them from me and then be able to eat them. That's, I'm like, oh, my God, like, Halloween's coming up, too. I'm like, oh, I'm going to miss Halloween. I'm a huge, like, chocolate and peanut butter lover. I'm like, and the kids and stuff like that, they're all going to, oh. And then you got to handle candy, and you know there's going to be some extra, too. I have to buy all
candy. Are you
going to
survive? Are you going to turn, will the light be on or off on Halloween?
No, it'll definitely be on. I love, like, seeing the kids in the Halloween costumes and stuff like that. Like, I love Halloween.
Is that your favorite holiday of the year?
Yeah, probably pretty much. You know, I'm a big fan of a lot of, you know, almost every holiday. It's, you know, a big thing. Like, for me, it was like, even growing up, it was like a big thing because all our family would just get together and, like, you know, I'm going to fly home. Well, obviously, have my family here. I got my stepkids and stuff like that. So we're going to do, you know, Christmas here. But then on the 26th, I'm flying back home to Canada and see my family. And, you know, that's huge for me. Like, we would all get together and just, like, you know, sit around, eat and talk. And, oh, and my aunt makes the best, like, shortbread cookies ever. So I have to make sure she puts some aside for me.
Is that the thing when you go home you look forward to the most, your aunt's shortbread cookies, or is there something your mom makes?
Oh, well, my mom makes, I don't know how people will know what I'm talking about, but they're called Scotch eggs. It's like an English thing. Have you ever heard of them?
No, I haven't, but I want to.
It's breakfast, all rolled into one. It's like a hard-boiled egg, and you roll it in, like, breakfast sausage, like sausage, so it's like a big ball. You put it in breadcrumbs and you deep fry it. It's definitely not a training food. It's like breakfast all rolled into one.
Hella tasty.
So you
hard boil the egg, then you roll it through some sausage and then through some breadcrumbs and just toss it in the fryer and then pop, and then just go to town on it. Oh my god.
I think it's from England because I got it from my grand. My grand was from England. But it's like, she only makes it, you know, so many times a year. That and her pies. Her pies are so good. She makes her own crust by hand and everything, you know. She always said that her mother would, like, go crazy if she wouldn't make her own crust. So that's why she's going to have to, she always has to make me a pie when I come home.
Was the cooking bug passed from your mom to you?
I wish it was, but... I have hopes and dreams. I'm like a huge, like, I swear, like, before you guys were talking to me, I was watching the Food Network. But I can't say it really, the technique has been passed down, maybe the love for it.
Well, have you been watching Cutthroat Kitchen?
I was just watching Cutthroat Kitchen.
Okay, is that not, like, the funnest cooking show to watch?
Man, that's crazy. Well, I hate to admit it, but we just got cable because we haven't had it in a while. So I had to catch up on my Ultimate Fighters and my Walking Deads and Sons of Anarchy. But then I'm like, Cutthroat Kitchen, what is this? And it's like crazy because I was a big fan of Chopped. So.
Oh, yeah, Chopped is awesome, too. Like, I like watching Chopped, but Cutthroat Kitchen, I kind of like that one. Like, I was watching one the other day, and the guy gave everybody these big, like, salt tablets, and they were like, but they were like the size of a cutting board. And if the people were going to use salt, they had to figure out how to get it off this, like, slab of salt.
Oh, my God. I just had a guy, all of his spices, he had to make sausages. And all the spices were replaced with flavored jelly beans.
Oh, man.
That's awful.
Dude, that is horrible. Wow. So
what
now,
you got to get up the next round.
What do you think of this year's Ultimate Fighter? Sorry. You said you just caught up on the Ultimate Fighters. What do you think of that so far? Were you a little shocked by the Julia Pena fight and like everybody else, I'm sure?
Yeah, you know, I just got it, and I was reading up on Twitter and what was going on, and, you know, I obviously had to get it recorded, and I'm caught up to it now, but, like, I couldn't, you know, I was really surprised with that, you know, I'm not, you know, man, Sheena's an incredible fighter, like, I don't know if it was just, you know, ego or, you know, she, you know, didn't take it as seriously, you know, because she deserves to be in the UFC. You know, she's a really good fighter. She's, you know, she's got a bit of everything, and I think she'd be one of the great fighters that could even take out Ronda. But, you know, hopefully if she still gets an opportunity. It's hard, too, and even with, you know, Roxanne, it's to see a lot of these veterans, and, you know, it's the next generation of fighters that are kind of, you know, getting higher and higher on the food chain, and they're almost pushing us out of there.
Yeah.
Well, let's not put the cart before the horse quite yet.
Yeah, you know, you never know. You never know what's going to happen. But, you know, it's some of these fighters, you know, that, you know, these new fighters are almost like the hybrid fighters. They've been training to be MMA fighters since they were kids. You know, I didn't start till I was like 18. You know, and it's crazy. You know, I wish I kind of had that opportunity to, you know, to be involved in martial arts at such a young age like these kids. But, you know, maybe everything happens for a reason. I like to believe that. But it's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, seeing, you know, I mean, just the level of talent that's, you know, coming up at younger ages today is just mind-boggling at times.
Yeah, but then again, I think, too, like, I used to help run the academy back in Canada, but you see, like, a lot of these fighters that started from a young age, but then once they hit a certain age, you know, they get into their teenage years, you know, they find, you know, relationships, girls and boys, and they want to date and they want to go and party, and, you know, it's, and some, you know, you've been doing it for so long that a lot of them almost get sick of it. So it's kind of hard, you know, the ones that are going to kind of stick through with it.
Yeah, I think we even kind of see that at times with Ronda, where she's like, I'm only going to fight for one more year, or I'm only, you know, whatever it is she's saying this week. But, I mean, I think that would just be kind of a shame to see some of these people that, you know, come in and then they're so burnt out that they just pass on, you know.
Yeah, because sometimes we wouldn't blame her. Like, it's all, you know, not just, you know, obviously, you know, the toll it takes on your body. And, you know, we've all had injuries, but just mentally, especially, you know, having to deal with the media all the time, you know. Just, I can only imagine for her what, you know, what she's got to kind of been able to endure with, you know, the as much publicity as she has. But it obviously is going to come with the territory.
Do you guys get to kind of determine how much media you do, or are you really kind of at the hands of the UFC?
When it comes to, you know, the UFC and what they want you to do, you're kind of at, you know, their hands. You know, I don't think I'm quite in the stage in the UFC where I can be like, nah, I'm not going to talk to ESPN today. You know, you know, maybe next week or something like that. But, you know, because you want it too. You know, like, it was crazy, like, that when I was out for my last fight, like, they're like, okay, they're going to call you at 8 o'clock in the morning and you got 2 hours of interviews. I'm just like, and it kind of sucks at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, you're getting ready to fight. But, you know, it's a way of getting yourself out there and being able, you know, because you have to help support not just yourself, but you have to help, you know, promote the event as well. It's that fine line in there that, you know, you may not want to do, but, you know, it's the thing that, you know, and that's how I think, you know, a lot of that's how I think Rana got out there as much as she was able to promote and sell herself as much.
Oh yeah, I mean, and I think that all of you ladies, you know, like you said, you always steal the show, and that's really helped to where now you and Liz are the co-main event, you know, at UFC Fight for the Troops 3. And it just shows how much hard work that you ladies have all put in and where you've helped get yourselves to.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I like Liz, you know. Man, if I wasn't fighting her, I'd be cheering for her to win. But, like, I'm a big fan of hers, and you know what? And she's very respectful, and I like her attitude towards a lot of things. So I think, you know, there was a point in time where I think a lot of fighters were almost going to lose that because they felt like they had to be almost one step higher. It's kind of, I think, well, just me personally, but I think it's kind of toned down a bit. You know, obviously it's going to be a little bit different, you know, with the Ultimate Fighter going on, and you kind of see behind the scenes of, you know, what's going to happen and the drama behind it. But I don't think people are as shocked and, you know, and stunned about it and going to make such a big deal about it. And, you know, as fighters, I don't think everybody's going to be trying to outdo each other by how much drama they can create.
Is coaching the Ultimate Fighter something you would consider if given the opportunity?
Yeah, for sure. I like to teach. You know, I taught for years, you know, before I moved out to California, and I think it would be a great opportunity. I think it would be, you know, obviously it's going to be a lot to deal with, and but just being able, you know, not even just to be on the show, but to kind of, and that's what, you know, I kind of, you know, obviously not think a lot of fighters, but that's what I would love to do, you know, after I finish fighting. And, you know, I think it's hard to do it right now. I know some fighters do be able to, you know, they run their own gyms or they teach on the side, but I tried to do it. It's hard. I mean, it's hard to, like, focus so much energy and attention on other people when you have a fight coming up. But that's, I think that would be a great opportunity, and, you know, I think that's something I definitely would love to try to do.
An Alexis Davis MMA, which would be ruling the world.
Sounds like a scary world.
It is.
What a submission.
What
There's
can
be
you
little
expect
Alexis
in your
Davis
fight
around everywhere. Oh, pardon, say that again?
What can we expect in your fight with Liz?
You know what? I think everybody knows what they're going to expect from that fight. It just, you know, come across with, you know, Carmouche versus Davis. It's going to be a good fight. I think it's going to be very aggressive. I think we're both going to be pushing each other to push the pace. And, you know what? I think there's going to be blood.
Doesn't there have to be before you get started? It seems like you have to bleed a little bit and then you really kick it into gear.
Yeah, you know, it kind of wakes you up a little bit. No.
No doubt.
Oh, this is a fight? I better start moving.
It's like you're zombie mode, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, time to play. Time to play. Sorry about your luck.
Like, you ruined my outfit. You know, this is war. You got blood all over.
What's it like to walk out into the UFC as opposed to the Invicta? Is it similar? Is it a big difference? Or how did it feel?
You know what? It almost doesn't even seem real. Like, when I think about it now, I'm like, it almost doesn't really even seem like I was there. But, yeah, it, you know, I love Invicta, but it was a totally different atmosphere. Just, you know, and helped a lot, too, obviously. It was, you know, even though it's almost like Liz, like, is now, I was in Canada, I was in Winnipeg, which is not really my hometown, but I almost had that feeling of it being my hometown, you know, being Canadian. So just the crowd and everything around you, it was almost like, the energy and adrenaline you got from it, it was incredible.
Wow. Yeah, I worked at UFC recently. It was in Seattle. I was one of the inspectors, and it was interesting behind the scenes to see what it was like. It was quite a machine back there with everything happening, with Burt running around screaming at everybody.
Let's go, let's go, let's go.
No. Let's go, baby, let's go.
Yeah.
I love Burt. He's awesome.
It was the cool part of it. To hear that, it was just like, to watch him, yeah, it was cool. made it a neat experience, among the other things.
It was great. Yeah, and for me, it was a lot of the same faces that I seen when I was on Strikeforce, so, that makes me a little bit more comfortable, too, because I'm like, oh, hey, Will and Bird and, seeing everybody there.
It's amazing what they're able to do. The thing that they coordinate is just without even skipping a beat. They're always waiting to come out when they're supposed to, and it's quite a machine.
Yeah, but, with Invicta, when, I was there for their first show, but they were, they're obviously a lot smaller than what the UFC is, but they were very good with the way they ran it as well. But they were, very timely. They're like, okay, we got to do this. Obviously there was a little bit of chaos, and I think you're going to have this regardless of any event, but, it's really the people that kind of control the chaos that kind of help it.
Yeah.
Oh. You doing all right there, Jeff? It sounds like
I lost my thought. I'm old now, remember? Gotta cut me break because I'm older.
I know, Jeff just recently got his AARP card in the mail. I think.
Kiss my ass, AARP card. I got that 3 years ago. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. It was his Medicaid card thing today.
Yeah, I turned 43 yesterday, so I'm feeling a bit ancient.
I just had my birthday as well.
Yeah?
I just had my birthday on Friday.
Though.
No. But year I'll be able to, attend the Master Seniors for Jiu-Jitsu. I just turned 29, so I'll be 30 next year.
Oh, look out. Although that's a pretty tough group. It's not exactly getting into a good group. That's kind of getting into a group of killers.
Yeah.
Not much easier.
Maybe it's because I have so much going on, especially with my fight, coming up. It doesn't really feel like any different than it was the day before, so.
Yeah, well, you just wait till you get past 40, and then it's different every day.
they say it was every 10 years or something that it hits you, so next year, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, next year expect me to be broken and sobbing, looking in the mirror going, no, what's happening to me?
I'm so used to things being broken, so it doesn't matter. I was like 20, and I was like, my knees, my hands, my wrists, or whatever.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, 30 wasn't a bad obstacle. Like, I actually woke up when I turned 30 and was like, I think I feel just like I did the day I turned 20. 35 for me was like, the day I turned 35, I was like, man, it's taking a little bit longer to recover from things.
I reminded you, you're in a new demographic. You entered a new demographic.
I think that was the other part, was that Jeff reminded me that I was in a new demographic.
No 18 to 34 anymore, old timer. Welcome to the club.
You know what? The only thing I think about is then I've heard from other fighters, once you hit 30, then it gets a little bit tougher to cut weight, and your body's going to react a little bit differently. Like, no, I don't want to think about that.
When I turned, it did. It, in a matter of overnight, it went from all of a sudden I just could not recover as fast. It was weird. It's probably mental, but, it's like, I feel, I train with all these younger guys. I feel better in like a week, and they feel better in a day. It's tough.
Yeah, there are days like when I roll like back-to-back days of the week that on Wednesday, like if I roll both Monday night and Tuesday night, like Wednesdays are really slow at work for me. Like I try to hide out as much as possible so nobody will be like, what's wrong with you? And I'm just like, back-to-back jiu-jitsu nights.
Yeah. I can't quite sit straight anymore. My back hurts. My shoulder, yeah.
Well, and think about this, as women turn 30, they don't have some of the advantages. Like, all these guys that are turning 30, all of a sudden they're all taking TRT and they're getting all these exemptions, but there's nothing like that for the ladies.
Yeah, things are obviously always going to be different for us, and things take a little bit slower for us. I'm just happy where we are right now. And I'm actually, almost excited for the future to see how far it goes. Hopefully. But, seeing what's happening with the women and with all these events, I can't wait for the next Invicta card and, you know, what's going to happen with the UFC. Who knows, like 5 years from now, we're going to have like some fighter we've never even heard of right now as the champion.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Some kids at home right now getting ready for fifth grade tomorrow, you know, doing their homework, getting in trouble. Oh, man. Because some of these young kids are just crazy talented. I can't imagine what they're going to be like in 10 more years when they're like this at 10. It's amazing.
You know, you see some of these kids training, and I'm like, man, I'm like, they better watch my back. Like, they want to have this, like, 10-year-old come tack me out or something.
Yeah, keep 11.
It's gonna be somebody that walks into your gym like in the next 3 or 4 weeks that will be the champ. You know, I mean, think about that.
Yeah, you know what? You just need that time and energy, and you know, have that focus, and then you have.
Are there any amateurs training with you that we should maybe keep an eye or ear out for?
Oh, you know what? Like, we have like. We just had this girl named Destiny coming from CSA. She just won her amateur debut with, you know, Muay Thai. I deal with a lot of Muay Thai fighters over at CSA, and it's incredible there. You know, they may be amateur fighters, but, you know, that's obviously a different sport, you know, Muay Thai, but it has a lot to tie in with MMA, but it doesn't matter. Like, they're killers out there. They could be, you know, the next breed of MMA fighters, you know. Like, I train with, like, Miriam. You know, she's, like...
Nakamoto?
Yeah. You know, you watch her fight, but, you know, she's, like, you know, we're just training, you know, going flow and fart. But she needs you, and she's just doing it nice, man. I'm telling you, it sucks. You know, and she just has this, like, ability to, like, the accuracy, and it's like, oh, what the hell? Yeah, it's a different breed when, you know, now I'm dealing with a lot of, like, professional Muay Thai fighters. It's incredible.
Is Miriam as mean at practice as she is during a fight?
Oh, Miriam, she can be pretty mean, you know. You wouldn't want to get her bad side. You know, that's the one thing, you know, sparring with her, it's, you know, you just better make sure you have your guard up.
Do you always try to bring her cake on days you're going to spar with her to try and get on her good side?
No, I haven't quite done that. She makes, she makes really good, like, kale chips and stuff like that she always brings into the gym, too. And, you know, she makes all sorts of stuff. So she's, I don't know, maybe she's trying to butter us all up. But, you know, I'm feeling guilty for, you know, kicking all our butts.
That's crazy. Hey, Alexis, you know, we really appreciate you taking the time out tonight to join us, but we're about to have to wrap this segment up. Do you want to give a shout-out to all your sponsors and let everybody know how they can follow you on social media?
Yeah, you know, you guys can always check me out on Facebook, Alexis Davis. I have an athlete page. I have a personal page. I also have been working on my website, but you can catch up on Twitter. It's Alexis Davis, MMA. And, you know, I really like to thank, you know, M Incorporated, who's really helped me out for my last fight, my management company, as well as Purchase Green. You know, they've been, I guess, my lucky charm since they've helped and they've kind of had my back. I've come off with a lot of wins, as well as Torque Gear and with NutriShop, who has recently come aboard and has really been helping me, you know, just kind of keep things in line. As well as with CSA and with Bobby, my jiu-jitsu coach, you know, and my fiance, and it's just been really helping to push my game. And there's so many people, like my family and my friends, my family, who's changing their plans to drive out to Kentucky in order to see my fight. You know, how cool is that? I just have a lot of good people behind me, and I'm very fortunate.
That's cool.
Well, we're looking forward to it, and we really do appreciate you coming on here and chatting with us tonight. Now, at what point in camp will you no longer watch the Food Network?
Oh, I watch it throughout the whole camp. It's funny.
Oh, my goodness.
with my fiance, he was couldn't wait for the tournament. He's like, he won't let me watch the Food Network. I'm like, I think it helps me lose weight. He can't do it, though, when he's cutting weight. But I can watch the whole thing. my eyes when I used to live with my roommate, Sam Wilson. She'd be like, "You're crazy." Like, she'd be watching it with me. She's like, you're cutting weight, you know. I'm a week out from my fight, and I'm watching, you know, Chopped or Minor Drivers Dive.
I don't know how you do it, because there's no way I could pull that off. I would be just like your fiance. I'd be like, uh-uh, we're not watching this right now.
Yeah.
I might eat somebody's arm.
I'm hoping one day some of that stuff is going to rub off on me.
If you keep watching it through fight camp, it can't help but to. Awesome. Well, thank you again, Alexis. We really do appreciate it, and I hope you have a wonderful evening, and we'll be tuning in on November 6th at Fight Night for the Troops 3, as you and Liz Carmouche are the co-main event.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Hey, guys. I'll see you later.
Bye. All right.
Bye.
The great Alexis Davis. Make sure you all tune in. Dude, hell yeah, man. I didn't know she liked
to watch people cook that much.
Yeah, she's normal. She's Canadian, man. They're all nice people.
Yeah. All of them? I bet they yell at me lately. I don't know. I don't think they're all
have
nice.
Have you?
Yeah.
I only know one Canadian, so I can't really speak for like all of them. Well, actually, I know more Canadians than this one.
Yeah. You know Carl?
No.
You don't know Carl? The guy you work
with?
No,
I know Carl.
Yeah.
I guess
there's
I know more
Mrs.
than
Carl.
That.
There's a Mrs. Carl.
Yeah,
right?
But I've never talked to Mrs. Carl. You can bet that.
Well, you've seen Mrs. Skippy, though. I mean, that's not easy to come across either.
Dude, Mrs. Skippy actually told me that Skippy was going to Cage Plus 3.
Yeah, he's coming. Yep.
Like,
because
I told him, I was talking to him last night, and then I told him, I was like, look, bro, I was like, I love you to death, but I've only got you, like, I only think 45% of you is, like, really going to be, I'll see you at Cage Plus 3. I was like, I just don't think you're going, bro. And then Carly, like, chimed in and was like, no, he's going. He's going. Like, I think she just wants to get rid of him for the weekend more than he probably wants to go.
Probably, yeah, that's what he said. I said, dude, she wants to get some strange. She needs you gone. She's kicking you out of Terrapon so she can bring in the pool boy.
Yeah.
There's some things to take care of that you can't do on your own. So, he understands.
I mean, he's just going to take one for the team.
So, what the way?
He's taking one for the team.
Yeah. Head up for the guy. We have... Happy's not being charged.
But even after Carly told me that, I still told him. I was like, I'm only 90% sold on the OBJ.
Yeah, 100% sold your wife wants you to leave, but not so sure you're going to. No, I think he's coming. I thought he was coming from
apparently
the get-go.
Apparently I said 43% that he was going.
43? Oh, so
yeah.
Not even 50-50, huh?
Oh, I didn't think it was a 50-50 until I heard from Carly.
Oh, he's definitely going. For sure. Oh, and you're an asshole, I see. Nice.
Yeah, apparently I'm an asshole.
Well, that's not news. So, I'm not going to call the media. I think they know.
They are the media.
Oh, you're right.
Well,
and I called you, too. No, you called me. Never mind. The media called. He's an asshole. So, what do you think about this fight with Liz Carmouche? How do you think she's going to do?
Well, I don't know that Liz will want to grapple with her, but, I mean, she grappled in Ronda, so. I think Liz might have a small advantage on boxing, but if Alexis has been working with Muay Thai people, I think that, you know, that's kind of what I was picking up there on the end when she was saying that she's been working with a lot more Muay Thai people. So, I don't know. Maybe we're going to see a new Alexis Davis with some striking. Because I think this will be like a real dirty fight, like a lot of clinch work. You know, they'll both like to grapple.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I think Liz probably has a slight advantage in boxing. Alexis has, a big advantage on the ground. But, you know, Liz is also a pretty strong wrestler, so it's going to be interesting.
Wouldn't you have said the same things about Alexis's fight with Shayna? Same sort of advantages were to Shayna's support, but they didn't pan out.
Yeah.
Alexis seems to just rise to the occasion, whatever it is. She's tough. Super tough.
I really like to see her, you know.
So normal and nice. She's like just like a nice, sweet lady and not some, you know, crazy bitch that's so tyrant and hard to talk to.
But she can rip your larynx out.
Yeah.
Like Dalton on Roadhouse.
Kind of, yeah, she's all nice. But like she can tap you into the moment. That's cool. So, in order for me to get our next guest, I'm going to have a phone number.
Yeah, no, hold on.
I'm going to get that for you right now.
I forgot to forward it to you.
She's supposed to come on now at 9:05, is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Is it 9:05 already?
Oh, there's a problem, though. Skippy, if you can hear me, there's no phone thing on the board. Where's the phone thing for me to call somebody? Little telephone's gone.
Oh,
brother up.
Sweet.
That's why I had to have Alexis call us, because I went to do it, and their phone thing's gone. So nothing good. I think Skippy had it removed just to mess with us. But is he listening, I wonder? Yeah, probably. Yeah, there's. I think he just swore at me.
I think he just messaged you.
I think he did. He forgot me. You know that? You caught that, right?
No, I didn't catch that.
She thanked her sponsors, except for the one whose show she was on. I'm just a silent sponsor. Maybe I should hype myself.
Yeah, but I think you should.
Let's talk about me in the third person from now on. I think that'll help. But, you know, Clench is going to need to know where the phone thing is if he's going to call. Come on, Skippy.
No, I'm trying to message Skippy right now.
Dickhead. Where is he? Where is he? We got someone on the hold, but I'm pretty sure that it's that doofus from...
Oh, he's fixing it for you.
From Winklesmith. Your buddy.
Oh, Winkle John?
Yeah, Winkle John.
Winkle John MMA?
Yeah. So, you excited for this weekend coming up? Some good fights. Some great fights. You're going to be the announcer, right?
Oh, yeah,
ladies,
dude.
Ladies and
be...
gentlemen. Yellow,
yeah, I'm trying to work on my intro. I've been trying to come up with something, you know, a little unique.
Are you ready?
Yeah, but that's already been done. You know, I thought about maybe doing something like some Road Dogg Jesse James used to do when they used to come out. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, are you ready?
Yeah, you should do like a rotation, you know, one to the next. Be like one time you come out, be one announcer, the next time you come out.
I wish I could... Whoa, what just happened to you? You just got muted. Wow, something crazy just happened here. I'm not really sure what's going on. We're having some serious difficulties right now and trying to get a hold of Heather Jo Clark. We'll be calling her momentarily, I believe. Am I the only one in here?
Well, you were
so
for
the
minute.
Fight card.
No, you're not.
Skippy, mute you.
He put me in the queue with him, and I didn't realize it. But now I'm out, and so he fixed it, and I can call her.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, he's magic.
Hold up, and I'll go back to talking about the fight card that we were just talking about while you call Heather.
Cool.
Because this coming weekend is Cage Quest 3. At Clover Park Technical College in Tacoma, Washington. MMA My House will be in full force at this event, as both me and my other partner in crime, Skippy Cohen, will be in the building for both the weigh-ins and the actual night of fights. It's going to be a wild and ruckus night. You got a main event, which is a real dirty little main event. Woo Johnson versus Jordan Harrington. That's not anything you're wanting to miss, people. I mean, that's going to be a crazy fight. Both those guys are should have been pros probably two or three fights ago, but you're going to get to see them fight as amateurs. And after that, I don't think we'll ever probably see either of them fight as an amateur again. You know, that's then you've also got the biggest 185 amateur fight in the region that can happen right now. Larry Pereira defending his championship against Randy Davidson. This is version 2 of Davidson Pereira. They fought once before. Larry was able to secure a Kimura in the third round and get the tap. We got Cameron
Savoy.
Oh, geez. You know, I was trying to just, you know, talk about the fights, not really, you know, shit on
anybody's
parade. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Never mind. That's my job. Well, speaking of.
Yeah.
I think we should talk to our guests because I've seen Larry Pereira and Randy Davidson. I would much rather talk to Heather. I don't know
okay.
about you.
Well, let's talk to Heather.
Cool.
The Hurricane.
Heather, how are you, Heather?
I'm good. How are you?
Great.
Marvelous.
Marvelous.
How are things going
awesome.
For you?
Things are going awesome. I've had a great training camp. I'm feeling stronger, faster. Just more excited than ever to get back in the cage and, you know, turn my losing streak around into a winning streak.
You got a big fight with Brianna, XFC 26. How sad were you maybe to not get on that New Mexico card?
Yeah, I was actually really bummed out because, you know, I never got to fight an MMA fight there and lived there for 4.5 years. And so basically the whole card was, you know, all my old teammates and stuff, and I was just, like, super bummed. So I was planning on going out there for a couple weeks and kind of acclimating to altitude and just enjoying, you know, being back there and training with them again. And, you know, that kind of, like, all kind of went out the window when they bought me off the cart.
Yeah, no, that was probably definitely a bum deal. But, they, you know, they stack you right on Night of Champions, which I kind of think means that they want to have you fight on that night so that you're doing the number one contender kind of idea, for in my opinion.
You know what? I don't know. I think there was some issues, I think they said, with, you know, having the three female fights on the card and whatnot. So I'm not exactly sure what the deal was, but... Yeah, it's in the past, and, you know, I'm ready for this fight coming up.
What do you know about Brianna?
I don't really know much. I know she's a southpaw. I know she's short. She's about 4'11". I know she's, you know, going to be coming out aggressive, and, you know, she's coming in as the underdog, so she's got a lot to prove, and she has really nothing to lose. So I don't really know much about her. You know, I watched the fight when she fought 70 Egg Inc. And, you know, I like to say that I've kind of game planned around that fight slightly. But honestly, it's like a fight to fight. And when we get in there, I'm just going to, you know, stick to what I do best and take it to her and just kind of make sure she's not able to do what she's good at. And I'm sure I'll figure that out pretty quick and and just kind of, you know, I plan to finish the fight, so, yeah.
I wanted to ask you about a fight that you had that I thought you got hosed on pretty severely, and that was against police. I thought you won that fight pretty, like, blatantly obvious.
Well, I appreciate that. I agree with you, and, you know, it was just really frustrating for her to, like, come out after that and say, oh, I beat her ass and all this. And I was like, wait a second. First of all, it was a split loss that, you know, the split decision. And so obviously the one judge, you know, had it for me. So I don't know how that's an ass kicking. And then second of all, I had a broken arm for half the fight. So, you know, I don't know. I really hope, you know, for a rematch one day. And, you know, even if she wants to take it to the to the ring and do like a Muay Thai fight or whatever, like do whatever that I can get some leather on her face.
Yeah, I mean, I was really like in shock that when that fight didn't go your way. I mean, I guess kind of a split decision made sense, but only if it was in your favor on that fight. I really thought you got wrong.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. I have to agree with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, so now what, you know, now we always hear that proverbial saying, you know, don't let it go to the judges. Is that something you're more cognizant of moving forward?
Oh, you know what? I've always felt like that because my first fight, actually, I lost a decision. And after that, I remember hearing one of the Evolution cards that I fought on early in my career, and the ref was talking about, you know, you can't get mad at the judge's decision. If you leave it up to the outside parties to, you know, make a decision, then you can't really have anything to say. And that kind of just stuck with me. And so I've always, you know, really gone in there and tried to finish. And I think, you know, with my fight with Stephanie Egging, I was really trying to finish her. And I think we were just a really good match with each other. And I didn't have really the best game plan for that. And, you know, she just came out the better fighter that night. And then with Felice again, you know, I broke my arm, and I think I was a little bit too emotional there. I wanted to win the fight so much, so I wasn't taking as high of risks to finish the fight, and that's something, again, I've learned from, and I know I'm not to do anymore. I mean, it was just like, it was such an emotional thing. I really just didn't like her, and so I put so much emphasis on winning when really it should have been on executing a finish. And I think if I would have done that in the first round, you know, I would have saved my arm and also won that fight.
What is it like fighting with a broken arm, and how do you compartmentalize that and still, like, not care? I mean, you were still punching and grappling, and, like, you really had no worry in the world.
Let me just say, like, you know, adrenaline is an amazing drug, and it wasn't so painful until I walked out of that cage, and then like it was kind of excruciating. But I'm not a quitter. I have a really strong will. I my dad is a Vietnam vet, was in the Marines, did two tours in Vietnam, and he just raised me with this really strong will of never giving up and never quitting. And you know, and then that being reinforced over in time of being an athlete and a hockey player, and then training at Jackson Winkle Johns, where, you know, we did a lot of mental training and a lot of just training on, you know, you never quit. You always keep moving. And, you know, getting past that point of the physical breaking where your body is like done, but your mind will never let you finish. So I guess there was never a moment in my mind where I wanted to stop. And man, if I had another round to continue, I would have taken it. So yeah, I don't know. A lot of people have commended me on it and told me, you know, hats off and stuff like that. And I really appreciate it. But, you know, really, honestly, I wanted to put on a show for the fans, continue. And I'll never quit. Like, you gotta take me out in this if you want me to stop. I'm never gonna stop. Never.
Do you have older or younger siblings?
I have an older sister and two younger brothers, and yeah, I think a lot of that's too. You know, my sister, she's 5 years older than me, and she's quite the fighter herself. She, you know, used to get in a lot of fist fights with me. I think up until maybe 5 years ago, we were scrapping it out on Thanksgiving night, you know, cleaning up the kitchen. So, I mean, she's definitely roughed me up. And then, you know, just I think growing up playing hockey with boys and whatnot just definitely made me tough.
Do you like coming from, like, a little bit diverse background? I mean, you probably got to learn a little bit about fighting, playing hockey. But now, I mean, you know, that also kind of is a little bit more dynamic sport to play. And how can you tap into that with what you're doing nowadays?
Well, I used to always tell people, you know, it's like when I played hockey growing up, it was full contact, and I was like, you know, walking around 115 pounds, well, soaking wet, and I'm playing with like 250-pound guys that like would seriously try to take me out because I was the only girl on the team, and I took the puck from them, and they didn't like that. So, you know, it was just something that I just loved, and I put everything into, and I actually can say that in all the, like, I don't know, 15 years I played, I never, ever laid on the ice and waited for, you know, them to blow the whistle and come over and pick me up. Like, no matter how concussed I was, I made a point to get up and at least skate to the bench and not let, you know, that person have that satisfaction of knowing that they hit me hard or whatever. So, I don't know. Like I said, it's just that kind of – that mentality that my dad instilled in me since I was a very, very young girl.
Do you still play hockey?
I haven't for a while. I guess since I started fighting, I haven't really had the time, but I have been told by my conditioning coach that he'd like me to start playing at least like once a week as a kind of cross-training thing, and I'm hoping to start making some money off my photography business that I'm starting soon and maybe get on a team out here and do start playing again because I really do miss it. And it's a really fun sport. You know, my dad is almost 67 and he's playing 3-4 times a week. So I don't really have an excuse.
Is your whole family really athletic?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, my sister, she never really played much sports, but my brothers, my younger brothers, are both were really, really good in hockey and played at the junior level and then kind of stepped out of it. But yeah, I mean, my mom, you know, she's a little bit smaller. I kind of have my dad's frame. My mom's like 5'2" and just real petite, and my sister kind of got that build too. So my mom's strong as heck. We used to wrestle on the bed and stuff, and she'd take me out and play ball with me. And, you know, she definitely is a, we say, little mom, but a strong mom. And then, yeah, my dad just, you know, very athletic. It's kind of funny. My brothers have convinced him that he is kind of a somewhat of a mutant, that he has, from Vietnam, has, you know, gotten these, like he's been genetically altered from something that he was given there. And that's passed down to myself and my brothers. So it's kind of funny. It's kind of a joke, but I think there's some, you know, some truth maybe to it. I don't know. It's kind of funny.
Do you still have to keep your brothers in line, or do they try to test you?
Yeah, I mean they're young. They're 21 and 19. So yeah, I definitely, they're out in Colorado with my dad, and He's definitely, you know, got them, even though, like I said, he's 67, but he could do 40 pull-ups in a row. I'm not joking. Like, I'm not kipping, not like the, you know, CrossFit ones, but straight up, like, hand grip outside, like, over, and just, he's straight 40 pull-ups. So, I mean, he constantly works out, and, you know, he I think, you know, they're like, oh, crap, I got to be, like, dad's passing this up here, so... Yeah, they strive to be a lot like me, and my dad, you know, still holds a high threshold for them as well.
Now, what was that like for your fiance when he met your dad?
My ex.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Boy, I couldn't tell what.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm single at the moment, but I have been married in the past, and actually, the guy that I, you know, I don't have to discuss too much, but he's a fighter too, and so I don't think he was too, you know, it's funny because the first time he met my dad, I remember him saying, and he always brings this up when, you know, we're still friends, and he's like, I could see the strength in him, you know, and he's like, I shook his hand, and I could just feel the power within him, and just knew, and, you know, they've become very close and still are close, even though after we've been broken up and stuff, and he's kind of his second dad to him as well still. So, I mean, it's definitely apparent to anybody that meets him.
How excited was your dad when you started fighting? Or was he like, whoa, what's this
point?
Oh,
you know, yeah, he didn't really want me to do it. My dad was a ER doc for many, many years, and he also, he used to be the ring doc for Benny the Jet and his fighters back in the day when I was very young. So he's been around it for quite some time, and, you know, when I told him I wanted to fight, he was just a little bit unsure, and I kind of had to, like, turn it around and be like, oh, Dad, it's, you know, it's a great opportunity for me to get some exposure and maybe get some movie deals out of it, because I have a bachelor's in theater, so, and I've always, you know, tried to be doing acting and get into films and stuff like that, so that was kind of my excuse, and then after a few fights, he was just like, all right, you're done, right? Like, you've done it, and I'm like, no, like, I'm just starting, and little by little, he's just become, you know, such a big support, and he comes to every single fight. He's in every corner. He's there helping me cut weight. He's helping me, you know, re-nourish. We always have our rituals after weigh-ins. We go see a movie together and get inspired. And, you know, he's just an amazing support to me. And, you know, he actually, like, he trains for one of my fights too. He diets. He cuts weight. He's in there, like, pulling. He's like, I'm going to get, you know, 50 pull-ups by your fight. You know, it's like he literally is sending me energy daily and probably hourly. So it's pretty amazing. I'm very, very blessed.
Dude, that sounds awesome. And then to, like, think that your other career, hobby, passion is photography.
Yes.
Are you doing, like, action photography? Like, are you at the fights, or are you doing more, like, weddings?
That's funny you ask. I've done everything. I lived in Maui for 2 years. I did surf photography, like surf school photography, ATV adventures, family portraits. I lived in Albuquerque. I worked in a portrait studio doing families, couples, you know, animals. And then I've done fights. I've done, you know, fighters. I've really done everything. Underwater photography as well. But I'm actually just starting a studio now that specializes in a style called boudoir photography. And boudoir means bedroom in French. And it's actually, I shoot women in, like, lingerie or semi-nude. And it's a way, it's like, you know, they're sexy photos. It's a way to really help women build their confidence, see themselves in a different way, help build their, you know, make them feel more sexy, kind of boost their relationships with their partners and so on. So I actually got to say it's probably one of the most rewarding types of photographies. I have done weddings, I've done events and fashion shows and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But this, I can't tell you the different emails that I get from women afterwards that just, raving about their experience, and it's just a really neat thing.
Do you find that they're able to have that level of comfort with you being another female that they may not get with, like, a male photographer?
You know, it's funny you ask. I have a couple partners that I work with that I've been working with in LA, and one's a female, one's a male. And believe it or not, I'd say a lot of women at first are kind of thrown off by him being there, but as they, and he's a special guy, so he just has a certain way. He's an older guy, you know, he's in his 60s and stuff, and so he's able to really kind of get them to loosen up in a different way than I am, because I think sometimes women feel that I may be judging them, and so they're kind of afraid to let loose or be, you know, kind of overly sexy or something, because they think, maybe, yeah, like, I'm going to feel different about them later or whatever, whereas with a man, you know, a man's not going to be like, oh, that's too sexy, you know, don't do that. So it's definitely, there's two sides to it. But, yeah, I think first and foremost, I think they're definitely more comfortable with me at the beginning, and then, you know, later they realize it doesn't really matter, that we're all, you know, there for the art of it, and we're not there to, you know, make them feel used and abused or anything. Like, we're there for all for the same purpose.
Now, back to your day job. This is your fifth fight with XFC?
No, this is my fourth.
Oh, that's right, because you had the one with Sophia ended up getting canceled. They replaced that with Avery.
No, I had it with Avery. So it was Kay Fitz, Avery, and then Stephanie, and now Brianna.
Yeah. What's it like fighting for them, and which, I mean, you seem to fight in Tennessee. You were there before. You had the win. Is that what we're going to, can we expect that again? You're going back to familiar territory.
You know what? All my fights for X50 have been in Tennessee, actually. It was Knoxville and then two fights in Nashville. It'll be my third time going back. So I've won one and lost one in Nashville. And, yeah, man, I like Nashville. It's a cool spot. They got great food. They got great music. And the people are really cool. And it's very eclectic, you know, people and stuff out there. So I like it. I'm down for it, and I'm ready to go rock the house.
Now, are you a big fan of barbecue? Does that kind of make that last week of weight cut difficult?
No. Actually, I'm a vegetarian, so I'm not too I'm not too
bacon barbecue
to that.
Tofu. I was watching this barbecue contest, and they made these folks barbecue tofu. I couldn't believe it.
I can't believe that, because you think it's like fall apart.
I had to turn it off. I was like, I can't watch some barbecue when they're putting tofu in the mix.
That's funny.
Where I thought Jeff would say something at some point tonight, but apparently he's just on mute.
Is he there, Jeff?
Yeah, I don't think there. Jeff's even there.
Yeah, I am.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
You don't want to talk to me tonight?
On the air, now. Nah. Afterwards, I will. No.
What's it like training at Jackson's? I mean, this has got to be a pretty busy time down there right now. There's a lot of big fights coming up.
I'm actually not at Jackson's anymore. I am training at Syndicate in Las Vegas.
Holy cow. I've got some really old information on you then.
Well,
how has that
moved...
change been?
It's been a big change. You know, I moved out here right after my fight in Bellator with Felice, and it's been a really big change, because I don't have all the female sparring partners that I used to have over there, and it's, you know, the gym, it was like at Jackson and Winklejohn's, it was a lot, it was just a fighter's gym, and then coming back to Syndicate, you know, it's a 17,000 square foot gym with kids and you know, everyday working class people that are there to learn different, you know, aspects of martial arts. So it's different in that regard. And then, like I said, having to train with more guys and bigger guys, and it's been different. But I've also had the chance to work with one specific coach on everything, whereas opposed to, you know, Jeff Winklejohn's, I had Wink working with me a little bit on striking, and then I had two or three other striking coaches, and then I had, you know, Jackson teaching jiu-jitsu, and then I worked jiu-jitsu with kind of a couple other people, and then, you know, I'd go somewhere else for conditioning, and so it was, like, very spread out, and nobody really kind of communicated, because, unfortunately, I'm not making the big bucks like a lot of these UFC fighters are, and, you know, the coaches got to make... They got to pay, you know, pay for their family's food, and so they just didn't have the time to work with me consistently, like they do with like a John Jones or a Clay Guida and stuff, and being able to really work that. And you know, I completely understand that, and I am so thankful. I cannot express enough how, you know, they made me who I am today, and then my coaches at Syndicate have only taken that and improved on that. So. I always will be grateful for all the training that I got there from the team and from the coaches.
Are you maybe going to be doing some cross training there in Vegas so you can have more female sparring partners?
No. My coach, John Wood, is really kind of a stickler about gym hopping. You know, he works very hard to make sure that we have everything we need in that one spot. So I can bring other girls over and get them, and I've been kind of trying to do so. We just got a new girl to the gym, Roxanne Modafferi, who's on the Ultimate Fighter this season, and man, I can't tell you how awesome it is to train with her and have her as a teammate and as a friend, and she is just such a one-of-a-kind person. I'm just really blessed to have her, and so yeah, she's great, and hopefully she'll attract some more females to the gym.
Now, does all the buffets make this part of fight camp difficult, or do you just not even think about them?
Not really. I don't really. I think I've been here almost 5 months, and I've been on this trip maybe twice. You know, I'm not a partier. I've kind of been there, done that, and you know, there is a lot of food though in this town that's really good, and it does definitely make it hard because I have a big sweet tooth. So, you know, yeah, I definitely have some places picked out to go to after the fight.
Now, is Ulysses Gomez at Syndicate?
Yes.
Oh, nice. I love watching that guy. I've had the opportunity to talk to him a couple times too, and he's a super awesome guy. Is that somebody that maybe you practice with since he's kind of down in that weight range?
I have a little bit. He hasn't been around that much. I don't know lately. I don't know why, but yeah, I haven't seen him very much. But yeah, I unfortunately haven't gotten to train with him, or maybe I just am too small for him. So when he is there, I'm not the guy or the girl that he goes to train with. And I have a guy that's a 125er, D2 wrestler named Jeremy Romero, and he just made his amateur debut, and rear naked took the guy. Just like, I think he got hit like twice, and he's like got Hulk strength. So I've been really utilizing him for this fight because he's a little bit shorter than me, and kind of very similar. You know, got that wrestling base and stuff with, as Brianna, I feel like, is gonna kind of try to wrestle me, and then I don't know why I'm getting like a book of texts right now. It's probably my dad sending me. He likes to get on some stories sometimes and text me. So I have a few good small partners, and then, you know, I when I moved over here, I definitely had to consider that I was gonna have less females to spar with and small people, but I look around at the world and I see other women, you know, in the same boat, and they're doing well. So I figured, hey man, you know, it's not necessarily the end to end all. I thought I gotta try it.
Now, are you an Avalanche fan?
No, I'm a Kings fan.
Wow. Okay, but you had to. What did you think about Patrick Waugh's temper tantrum the other night?
You know what?
I
haven't been able to watch hockey for a really long time. I don't have TV, so I don't even have cable. So since I've been in MMA, unfortunately, I've been kind of keeping away from hockey, but you know, once a Kings fan, always a Kings fan. So, but if you were to ask me like who's on the team or name one of the players, I couldn't tell you that. So, I hate to say that I'm a Kings fan, but you know, that was my team when I was paying attention.
Was that because of Gretzky?
It was partly because of Gretzky, partly because that's where I'm from. You know, I grew up in LA, and my stepdad actually was a lawyer, represented the Lakers, or represented the owners of the Lakers. So we got a lot of tickets to Kings games and stuff when I was a kid.
Right on, right on. I bet that was tons of fun.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Obviously, you guys both fought Stephanie Eggink, had similar outcomes. What do you see in Brianna that will make this fight exciting for the fans with you two?
I think she's going to, you know, she's the bull. Like, that's her name. So she's going to, like, you know, come at me, and I'm going to play the matador, and I guess that's kind of entertaining.
You're just going to hurricane around her, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, she's going to come out, like, swinging, and she's going to come out hard, and I'm going to come back hard, and it's going to be a fight until I figure out a way to finish her.
Now, can we expect a submission finish? I mean, you're kind of a pretty even, like, finisher. You don't mind the KO or the submission finish.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go. I'm happy with either or. I really don't have a preference. I really, a finish is a finish to me. So, you know, I'll take a TKO submission or a knockout. I'm cool with any of the three.
When you look back at your previous finishes, which one is your favorite?
You gotta say, like, that the knockout, the 10-second knockout was definitely an impressive one. And I, you know, it was more like I just kind of, I don't want to say got lucky, but, you know, it was definitely one of the best nights of my life because it was very unexpected and just kind of a cool thing to have under my resume.
When that happens, like, has the fight even kind of started in your mind when you get a finish that quick? Or do you, like, find yourself sitting there going, what? Just, like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, definitely. It was very unexpected. I actually got hit at the same time. I mean, believe it or not, like, I remember walking up to the ref because she was down for some time. And so I was, like, talking to the ref, and I was like, do I have a red mark on my face? Like, she got me, you know, but I just must have got her a little harder. So, you know, it could have gone either way. And that's something that I'll never forget and always, you know, be aware that you don't go into a fight with your hands down.
Yeah, and you're just lucky to survive that one.
Right.
I mean, the 10-second finish would just seems like so crazy. Like, I just don't even know. Like, I mean, I figure you're like still trying to figure out how to, like, to get ready for the fight. Like, and I mean, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. But you know what's weird? It's like that training camp, I had worked that punch a lot over and over again, and I was landing it a lot. And it wasn't like I planned to go out there and do it right away off the bat. Like, I never go into a fight and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do right away. I do, you know, have a certain protocol in terms of, you know, getting off first and going out there and being strong and you know, putting my will out there and enforcing it right away. But, yeah, I mean, it just kind of happened.
So is that definitely the one that one day in the future you'll be telling your kids and grandkids about? Will that be the story ender or the story beginner?
I think that's the story beginner. And then the middle one would be, you know, my toughest fight, which was my fight with Sarah Alpar. And, you know, I was supposed to fight at Sarah Schneider's at 117.5, which is a very strange weight, but it was a compromised weight. And 3 days before the fight, she pulls out to fight on another card, and a girl named Sarah Alpar comes in and decides to step up and fight me at 125, and I was already down to 122, so, like, she cuts from 140 in 3 days and comes in much bigger than me the day of the fight, like, literally was weighing in, like, I just drank a Gatorade and had a Snickers bar before I got on the scale, because, I mean, I had breakfast that morning, everything, like, and I still was, like, 124, or I might have got on 125, but she was so much bigger than me. I really felt it. And when I went into that third round, man, I was, like, done. I was so tired, and I just had a lot of things happen to me that camp and didn't really get the best training camp for it. So when I was able to finish that fight with the rear naked, I just remember hearing Greg Jackson's voice in my head, like, you know, when we used to do sand dune runs, and he'd say, you know, you quit now, you quit, you're going to quit in a fight. And I was like, oh, man, Heather, like, you quit now, you're quitting in a fight. And so I heard his voice, and I just sunk it in, you know, deeper, and then she actually went out. And it was that was really one of those, like, even more than the arm, broken arm, you know, which, again, I'd say is the end one of just kind of saying, you know, that's the mind over matter of really, like, being, you know, I was tired in the Sarah Alpar fight, but, you know, when your arm is broken and I literally split in half and
and you keep going, it's another thing. It's another threshold, another pain threshold.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. Jeff, do you know about anything like that, buddy? I don't know even where Jeff went again.
I think Jeff fell asleep.
I think you're right. I think Jeff is sleeping on the job tonight. I'm going to have to make sure he doesn't get paid for that.
Oh, boy. I might have.
I'm pretty sure that you did, man. In your fighting career, did you have to fight through any kind of injuries like Heather did?
Yeah, I was hurt every time. Are you kidding me? I'm old, man. I'm hurt before anything even happens. I didn't start fighting until I was 35.
Hey, I'm 33.
Oh, wow. So you're
oh, wow.
Fighting
so, oh, shit.
So that's good fighter age. I'm 43 now. So now I get hit, I'll break a hip. So.
Jeff just got his AARP card.
He just got a what?
His AARP card.
Oh.
You kid.
We have to take it easier on him nowadays. That's why we used to really be able to harass Jeff, but after his most recent birthday, the government's asked us to take it easy on him.
You get a tax write-off if you do.
Yeah,
good break.
I'm hoping so. Since we get you out of the home, we get you out of the home for about 6 hours a week, so I'm hoping we can get some kind of tax write-off.
Yeah, big write-off for employment handicapped.
That's awesome.
Dang, Heather, we appreciate you taking the time out tonight to join us. And do you want to give a shout-out to all your sponsors, let people know how they can find you on social media, and
yes,
maybe
please.
Give us a brief little preview of your fight on October 18th at XFC 26?
Okay. Yeah, first I want to thank you guys for your time and say sorry, Jeff, if I bored you to sleep. But I'm very excited about being on the show with you guys, and thank you for giving me the opportunity and giving fighters in general, women and men, opportunity to, you know, talk about what we love so much and you know, take the time to do, obviously not for the money, but for the love of the sport. I want to thank my sponsors, Vega, the supplement company, been behind me since before I even had a fight. You can find them on myvega.com, VEGA. Also, Thrive Foods Direct is a company that sends me my food weekly. The vegan, gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free, all-organic, plant-based nutrition. They pre-make all the meals and send them directly to my house weekly. So I don't have to go to the store and cook or anything. So it's really cool. It makes life really pretty awesome. I have a company called Virus International. They're kind of make compression fabrics and different really, really cool clothes for training, all kinds of different sports. Definitely check them out. Tap Out is a new sponsor that's getting behind me for this fight, and that's kind of like a dream come true, you know. So definitely shout out to Tap Out and Scrape and Punkass. Tussle, been a sponsor for a long time, and Slade, he's been there behind me, so definitely shouts out to Tussle. I have a tattoo sponsor out here called The Living Dead. They've done some really cool work on me since I've been out here, and I'm going to continue to do so when I'm done with this fight. And then I have a chiropractor named Dr. Jacob Stickle, who without him, I literally would be in pieces. So I thank him with every inch of my heart for giving me the opportunity to, you know, to stay healthy and remain training hard. So that's pretty much it. And you can find me on Twitter at Heather Jo Clark. And that's Heather, J-O, no E, Clark, C-L-A-R-K, no E at the end as well. My Facebook's Heather Clark, or a fan page is Hurricane Heather Jo Clark. My website is Hurricane Heather Clark. So you can go on there. You can watch all my fights, see some pictures, catch interviews, things like that. Again, it's HurricaneHeatherClark.com. And the fight, you know, definitely either show up to the fight in Nashville or check it out on Access TV, AXS Live. It's going to be definitely fight of the night. I'm going out there to turn this losing streak into a win streak and get back on the horse and start climbing to the top.
What kind of mouth guard do you have?
What was that?
What kind of mouth guard do you have?
Mouth guard?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good, thank you for reminding me. I have a fight dentist mouth guard who's a guy in town here that does a lot of stuff for fighters. And also, that reminds me, a company called Tough Prints. They do a lot of my printing and stuff, and a lot of people in the industry. So check them out at Tough Prints. I think .com or just Google Tough Prints.
I have a question about two of your sponsors.
Sure.
What tattoo are you having worked on now or after the fight? Is it like a big piece, a sleeve piece?
Well, I have this tree on my arm that I got done in Albuquerque, and they redid it, like they cut through it when they put the plate in my arm. After when I broke my arm, they put a plate and six screws, and so they redid the tree, and they went over the scar, so it's, like, really hard to see. And then behind the tree is a sunset, and the sunset needs to be redone because it's kind of faded. So they're going to redo the sunset, and then I'm not sure. I'll probably get another one. I'm not sure where or what yet, but probably get something else.
And then with your food sponsor, or the company that you get your food from, do you, like, look at a menu and just be like, yeah, I think for these days I'm going to try this? Or is it kind of like you're just, like, you're on, like, the five-meal-a-day plan and they kind of send you whatever they want?
It's three meals a day, and it's they just send me whatever. It's high-protein, high-fiber diet. And, you know, as I get closer to the fight, like, I can't eat as much of it because it's a lot of beans and things like that that are a little bit higher in carb count than I need when I'm, like, my last week. So I end up going and having to do a little bit of egg whites and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's very low-cal, you know, high fiber and super high in protein. So during my camp, I'm pretty much just, like, come home, heat it up, and I'm good to go. And then I have my supplements in between the meals and stuff like that, and then they have snacks. The supplement company, they have, like, bars, all-in-one bars that have, like, 50% of your daily vitamins, minerals, greens, probiotics, fiber. Like, it's incredible. So I get, you know, these bars. They give me Savvy Seeds, chocolate-covered Savvy Seeds, maca bars or chocolate bars and stuff like that. I mean, so between, like, all the stuff that I get with my supplements and then my food, I'm, like, totally taken care of.
What is your favorite meal?
My favorite
if I said you can have anything to eat tomorrow, what would you tell me?
From them or, like,
no.
Favorite?
No, like, overall, not from them.
Oh.
But, like,
pizza.
Your favorite.
Pizza.
Right on. Everything on it or just cheese?
I like cheese. I'm kind of a simple girl. Like, I like cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I might add some
extra sauce and cheese.
Yeah, exactly. Extra sauce and cheese, and you know, I might throw, like, if I get really excited about it, and I have some options, I might put some spinach or some, like, sun-dried tomatoes or something on there, some basil. But if you got me a cheese pizza, I would be ecstatic. I would not complain. Not saying you, but one.
Yeah, no, I'm a simple. I like some cheese pizza, extra sauce, and some crushed red pepper flakes, and we're on the go.
Yeah,
thin, and I prefer
amazing.
a thin crust, like a New York
me
style.
Me too.
Like, because where I live at now, it's up in Oregon, it's all these people that are always like, yeah, you can have our gluten-free pizza crust. And I'm like, dude, it's pizza, bro. I'm trying to eat some gluten and some grease and some shit. It's pizza, man. It's supposed to be bad for me.
Where
I'm
going
to go to the gym. I live in Corvallis. I work in Eugene.
Okay. I have a friend in Bend named
Chaz
Garule. Do you know him?
I can't fight last night.
He just fought. He freaking beat this guy's butt, right?
He did great.
Yeah, he's a... You know what? He was one of the first people I ever trained MMA with down in L.A. at PTC. And he kind of broke me in, man. He showed me a lot in jiu-jitsu and judo and almost knocked me out the first time I ever sparred. you know, and he's actually coming down here to Vegas to train with me next week. So he'll be out here like a month training.
I watched his fight last night. I even have part of it. I even recorded part of it. He's a tough cat. He won and then he did well. He surprised some people. I don't think anybody expected him to be as good as he was, and he's really creative fighter. He did one thing though. He got booed pretty bad because he did a little fake glove touch in the third round after like a low blow. And he just shot and took him down. Got booed pretty good, but you know it's part of it. It's in the rules. No harm. It's not like he didn't hit him with a bomb. He just took him down. But he's a creative guy with the different things he does. He throws these weird kicks and
yeah,
a karate kick or something. It was really cool.
I know, he's a very interesting character, and I love him to death. He's like a brother to me, so yeah, I'm stoked to have him come down here, and he's going to be renting a room in the house that I stay at, and yeah, so I'm stoked to be training with him shortly.
He beat an undefeated guy, he's pretty good.
Yeah, man, yeah, he's great. He's, you know, he's had a rough time in his career, and I mean, it's amazing, you know, it was like his second pro fight, and yet, you know, I started training way after he started. So, you know, he's been trying to get his things going. And I think finally now is the opportunity. But he's still young. He's got time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you're ever up our way, let us know. And we'll take you around and show you the fun spots and what's going on in Central Oregon. I'm actually considering a job in Central Oregon right now. In
awesome.
Bend.
Awesome. Well, Oregon's a beautiful, beautiful state. I have drove through it before, but I lived in Vancouver, Canada for a year, so I drove from LA up and been through there. But yeah, definitely would love to come check it out. So if I do, I will definitely contact you guys.
Well, I'm not there.
Well, we appreciate you.
I'm not
sorry.
Well, Jeff will fall asleep anyway. I mean, we already learned that about.
Yeah,
well, hey, Heather, we wish you the best of luck on October 18th, and we'll all definitely be tuned in to Access TV. And like you said, if people are in Nashville, go buy some tickets and watch the show live.
Definitely. Thank you guys so much for your time and for putting on the good show.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you again. We appreciate the compliment.
No problem. Talk to you guys soon.
All right. Jeff, are you awake now?
Yes, I am.
Should I try to talk to myself?
You know, the worst part is I really did call.
We'll be right back. What do you think about that?
What is that?
I think we got a phantom host. Muy
importante!
Muy
importante! Muy
importante!
I would just like to announce that Jeff has just picked up two new sponsors, Ensure and Depend.
What about the Ambien one? I thought it was Ambien.
No. No, you don't get no Ambien, sucker.
Come on, I like the pink elephants.
Hey, good show, guys. Good show.
I'm wondering how it got clean.
You want the pink dolphin, probably.
I don't know. The worst part is that I really did fall asleep. That's just messed up.
That's all right. I think it's funny that it, like, that Blog Talk post, like, Skippy's actually on the air with us.
Yeah, I don't know why it's doing that, but
I am currently broadcasting. I see this, and I'm like, he is? He has the same guest as me?
I'll tell you what, the new website is pretty coming along sick. It's up and running. There's still some touches to do, but.
Dude, I want to definitely, hold on, let me give a shout-out to the guests that we just had tonight, Alexis Davis and Heather Jill Clark. Two awesome chicks. Hopefully they'll go out and pick up some big wins here in the next 5 weeks. I had a blast chatting with them. Jeff apparently was bored. I must not have done a very good interview if Jeff was going to sleep.
It was so good that I didn't have to stay awake to cover for you, so I just took a little rest.
At least Skippy just mutes me.
I know. I kind of wish I would have not just muted myself instead.
So the Chaz Garuli guy looked pretty good. I mean, he did beat Manny.
He's got Emmanuel from Ivan's gym, and he beat him every round. And he was really, he kind of reminded me of maybe like Paul Njoku kind of, not the same build or anything, but the same throwing weird kicks and punches from strange, unexpected angles, you know, where you wouldn't expect something to come from. And you had a lot of these, like, side karate kicks that were hitting Manny in the stomach and side and knocking him across the cage. He was impressive. It started out, I would say the first round was real close, maybe give it to Manny, but probably not. And the next two rounds were clearly the Garuli guy. He was just took it to him, beat him up. Didn't hurt him, but controlled him and beat him up the whole fight. He didn't have any marks on him, though. But he did do the one
That's
thing.
Crazy.
That place just, you would have thought that, you know, the same people that were there to see Rob Cann all booed when he did that, because it was like when Rob walked out, it was so loud of boos, the place went crazy. It's kind of funny.
So let's talk about the main event, dude. The main event, 5-round title fight, Harrison Bevins, Justin Harrington.
It was a great fight.
Was it?
Some people think that Harrison won the first round. I don't know. I didn't think so, but it was very close. It wasn't anything that you